following takes place between 9 a.m. and 10 a.m. Events occur.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome back. It's FPC Radio Live. It's Tuesday. It's November the 16th, 2021, and we are through 10 weeks of the NFL season. And with the Monday night wrapping up, or Monday night football last night to wrap up the week, we saw, well, a San Francisco beatdown. I know you're a Giants fan in baseball, but and I know we both have a little bit of a affection towards Jimmy Garoppolo. I know he's a paisan of yours, and of course a former Patriot for me. He was pretty solid yet last night. The San Francisco 49ers really took it to the Rams, and dare I say, there's panic at the panic at the disco doesn't really work. So panic in LA.
Panic at SoFi.
Yeah, there you go. Maybe. I like that.
Well, here's the thing, and I tweeted at you and Clark Judge at JohnSap25 that the Rams, after a 3-0 start, which culminated with them beating the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, they're 4-3 since that went over Tampa. And the four teams they beat are a combined 7-28-1. And we talked about it, like, who's making the Rams schedule? It seemed like every week they were playing, I don't know, the Texans or the Lions or just some awful team, and they would take care of business against them. But, you know, you look at the three losses they had last night. Obviously, they were absolutely destroyed by the San Francisco 49ers. They also lost at Arizona, at home against Arizona, and then Tennessee beat the hell out of them, and turnovers were a problem. With Matthew Stafford, which really isn't a surprise. And I think we talked about it yesterday about Matt Stafford. I just look at him as a more talented version of Kirk Cousins, like a really good quarterback who you can win games with, will put up really nice stats. At the end of their career, they may say, oh, this guy's a Hall of Famer. Kind of like Philip Rivers, right? So they're in that same level.
I think Philip Rivers is a much better quarterback than Matt Stafford. I don't mean to interrupt you. I'm just not a big Matt Stafford fan. And I think this season is really showing why I'm not a fan. But sorry, go ahead.
No, I think you're 100% right. I'm not a real Rivers fan, so maybe we're just splitting hairs comparing the two. Maybe I'm more style over substance. I like watching Stafford throw the ball. It's very elegant and pretty to watch.
I do too, because you never know who it's going to go to. That's the thing.
That's true too, yeah. Can I chime in real quick?
Like, and we talked about this a little bit yesterday, and I brought up the tweet that I responded to the PFF thing. Like, what's going to stop this offense? Well, I mistakenly said a boneheaded interception in the playoffs. I don't even know if it's going to get that far. I mean, this could happen before the playoffs are over, and it could sink their ship. Before the playoffs start, and it could sink their ship. But like, we've seen Matt Stafford with so much talent around him. Mm-hmm. And yet this is who he is. Like, some of the throws he made last night, I'm sitting there scratching my head like, what are you thinking? You are a 10-year veteran. You know, this isn't some rookie kid coming in. Like, you know, if Mac Jones every so often, you know, makes a kind of a puzzling decision or looks a little lost out there, you know, hey, you scrap it up to, hey, he's played 10 games, not 10 years. Matt Stafford's been in the league for 10 years. He's a number one overall pick with, you know, I think he got this, there was this, you know, kind of this honeymoon period when he got traded where everyone was like, look, myself included. I was like, look, take him out of Detroit. You know, it's going to be a little bit better for him. But don't get too amped up because, well, you know, he's not going to completely change who he is. I mean, just because he was in Detroit doesn't absolve him from all his mistakes. And he's made a ton of them over the course of the years. You brought it up yesterday. He's never won a playoff game in 10 years. I understand you're with the Lions, but hey, guess what? The Tampa Bay Buccaneers hadn't won a playoff game in quite some time, and they changed quarterbacks, and look what happened. So at a certain point, you can't be like the quarterback's important enough that he can elevate the team above where they should be. And I'm talking about the Lions. Right now, he's part of the reason why this Rams team isn't where they should be. Now, again, there's a lot of other issues with this Rams team and, you know, very quick look. It looks like it's more a collection of talent. I think Chris Collinsworth, I actually hadn't muted it at this point, but I think he used this phrase. It was more of a collection of talent than an actual team. And we know how far teams can get. We also know how far in the opposite direction collections of talent gets in the NFL. So
even than half of their salary cap is tied up in six players, yeah. And they're also paying Jared Goff's salary or yep. a large portion of it.
And they have no draft picks.
They have no draft picks, so they're all in on stars, right? So you look at them and go, "Wow, this team is loaded. They've got this supposedly an elite quarterback, and they've got a future Hall of Famer at left tackle, and they've got three Hall of Famers on defense with Jalen Ramsey and Von Miller and Aaron Donald, and it looks so good, but what's the rest of the roster look like? You build your roster, I wouldn't say necessarily from the bottom up, but maybe from the middle and then both ways. You have to have depth. And I look at the Green Bay Packers, who have had a ton of injuries this year, but they've survived because let's give Brian Gutekunst, the general manager, some credit here. I know he's been kind of a punching bag during the offseason. He's built a nice roster, right? They lose Aaron Jones. They've got A.J. Dillon, and Jones is probably going to come back in a couple weeks. They don't have to rush him back. They haven't had perhaps the best left tackle in football in David Bakhtiari all year. Mm-hmm. Their offensive line has still played well. They draft and develop players, and they build depth. We know what Bill Belichick does, right? So if someone goes out, it's not the end of the world. The Patriots won a Super Bowl without Rob Gronkowski. I remember 2016 when he got hurt, it was like, there's no way in hell they're going to win the Super Bowl. Well, they won the Super Bowl without Rob Gronkowski.
Yeah.
The Rams are so top-heavy that, who are the other eight guys on defense for L.A.? I know Donald's great and Von Miller's great, although he looked a little washed up last night. Good deal for Denver getting a second and third round pick for a rental. And Jalen Ramsey's an elite corner that you don't have to throw at. But who are the other eight guys out there?
Good question.
How you build the defense, right? It can't just be about, okay, we've got three great players on defense, and we've got, Odell Beckham is going to come in and save the day. I would have taken Robert Woods over Odell Beckham last night, or probably any night of the week, because he's a better all-around receiver. He's better for that offense because he's a really good blocker. He can play in the slot. I mean, Odell's a shiny toy. Odell, to me, is the sports car that you drive, a couple of times in the year in the summer. But when it comes to winter, what the hell are you going to do with it? Put it in the garage.
Yeah, and look, we brought up some of these. I'm going to pat both of our sides of our backs here because, we were both concerned right off the bat with this. It's like, okay, how important or how good of a move is this for the Rams? Like, to go get a receiver. Do they really need one? How much better does it make them? And I don't think either of us thought it made them any better. It just was, and that was with Robert Woods on the field. Now with Robert Woods out, Odell Beckham becomes a necessity as opposed to, a luxury. And, well, again, that I think was a little bit overstated because, we were seeing some of these issues pop up for the Rams. And now look, that's why I said when people were kind of jumping on or getting excited about, this is how you team build. Who cares about draft pick? Who cares about cap? Well, just wait. Just wait. Like, this whole cap is crap mentality or the cap doesn't exist is foolish. I mean, it does exist. You can't just ignore it. Eventually, it's going to come back. And, look, I said it when they made the Von Miller trade. This is a Super Bowl team. A Super Bowl winning team or not, there's no in between for them. It's either success or failure. And if they fail, I mean, good God, John, where do they go? What do they do? They're selling out to host a home Super Bowl. That's what's happening. It's L.A. It's the big stadium just opened up. There's been this battle of the Chargers versus the Rams. Who's going to be more relevant? Sean McVay. This whole mentality. I mean, what did Sean McVay do yesterday? What kind of adjustments is he capable of making? Like, you brought it up. I mean, they are incapable of coming from behind. That's right. A lot on coaching and preparation.
The thing with Sean McVay, 43-0 when leading at halftime. So when he's got the lead at halftime, it's game, set, and match. 10-27 when tied or trailing at halftime. We saw that even in the Super Bowl against the Patriots, they made no adjustments throughout the game, and Belichick did, and it was enough to get the Patriots over the top. I'm going to compare it to how we assess actors. Sean McVay, great leading up to the game. He can design a great game plan. Everything works. He's got the scripted play early. Great. But then when the game starts and there has to be some adjustments, he's not quite capable of that. And again, he's very young. Maybe he'll learn to do that. It's almost like a film actor, right? You can have as many takes as you want to nail the scene. Bill Belichick, conversely, is a guy who makes adjustments not just at halftime, but throughout the game. Mm-hmm. He's like a stage actor, right? A great thespian who gets on stage and it is live. You don't have mulligans when you're a stage actor, and that's Belichick throughout the game. He can make those adjustments. Now, it's never fair to compare just about any coach in the league to Belichick. We see what his accomplishments are, but that's something that McVay obviously has a weakness on. Like, once the game starts, if it doesn't work out, where do we go from here?
Mm-hmm. And that's exactly what we saw this past week or yesterday. Yep. And we've seen it over and over again, and that's why I always kind of laugh at this. You know, we should understand it by now, John. I mean, we see it all the time in every sport. It's always the extremes on both ends. Like, you know, far too often we talk about it with quarterbacks, and it happens with coaches too. I mean, Sean McVay was the it guy. Like, I remember a couple years ago, if you were not social distancing around Sean McVay, you were an offensive coordinator, essentially. So,
Yeah,
if you were in his, like, cloud, you know, you got jobs because, oh, it's Sean McVay, the most, you know, this, that, and the other. He has a guy who pulls him off the sideline. And I always just laugh at that because it's so unnecessarily theatrical. You know what I mean? Like, there's no need to do that. Like, okay, like, you know, it's a funny story and it's a little quip, but it's like, okay, what exactly is the point of all this? It's basically for show. It's basically for, and you'll have to excuse my cat jumping up on the table here. She just kind of got in the camera, but it is what it is. But anyways, I always found it more of just a dog and pony show.
And that's he's in L.A. We see the beautiful house that they hold the draft in, which they don't need to even have
this year. Thank you. I don't mean to cut you off, but I'm so glad because I kind of forgot about that, and I'm so glad you brought that up. Why? Like, we talk, and I bring this up all the time, you know, that Super Bowl against Belichick, seeing the post video, you know, after the game, him being goo-goo gaga over, you know, seeing Bill Belichick, and I was like, oh, God, that game was over that second. And then... Yep. It's like then you go to this whole glitz and glamour. This is the draft room. This is how many TVs Sean McVay has, all of these computers. And it's like, what is the GD point of all this? Because that's not helping you. Like, all this, like, flashy and tech, it's like the rich kid who just always had the fancy stuff but didn't know what the hell to do with it. And it's like you got Bill Belichick over there with his dog Nike and a laptop because guess what? He did all the work prior to that. He doesn't have to show off for the camera and become this, like, larger-than-life character because he's already done the work. It's not this, like, facade.
That particular, though, was because of COVID. They were doing the draft remotely, so they all had something.
It was still way over the top and unnecessary. Why do you need to rent a million-dollar mansion, like, dude, do it in a conference room on, you know what I mean? Like, just, you don't, that's what I'm saying. Like, it's so unnecessarily flashy with no substance to it. It's all surface.
I did like Kingsbury's house, though. Cliff Kingsbury did it. But that, again, was during COVID. Remember when Cliff Kingsbury was sitting there with his, and he's a good looking dude.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but I'm pretty sure he was just like sitting there like, you know, again, yeah, if you're at home doing it, you know, during COVID, that's one thing. But I'm pretty sure, like I said, Bill Belichick was sitting at a dining room table with a laptop. Cliff Kingsbury was sitting in his nice house, but it was like him on a computer, you know, in his living room. And then you got Sean McVay looking like he was in the basement of the Batman basement from Batman Begins, where, you know, Morgan Freeman standing there with the 200 TVs monitoring everything. And it's like, what the hell is the point of this? All it is, it's just for show. It's glitz and glamour. It's this, like, facade that they're trying to put on. And guess what? That facade is wearing thin because it doesn't mean jack if you don't win games and if you don't look good, even in losses. I mean, they've looked bad in losses. They haven't beaten good teams. And right now they have a collection of talent that looks like that's all it is, just a collection of talent. And
it feels like an NBA team. And I said that they traded for Von Miller and even more when they signed Odell Beckham Jr. There's three NBA teams in LA right now, the Lakers, the Clippers, and the Rams. Mm-hmm. And they're kind of built like that with stars. And maybe there's the pressure in LA to just have stars so you're relevant. I still think the Raiders are the most popular team in LA, not the Rams or the Chargers. So the Rams are trying to get traction. I mean, they were away from the city for 20 years in St. Louis. The Chargers moved from San Diego. So, I mean, LA's football market is really, really strange. You know, I think make a case the Cowboys are the second or third most popular team in LA, and the Packers are probably the fourth most popular team in LA because they've got that national brand, right? LA's not a great football city. I think the two biggest franchises in LA, in some order, are the Dodgers and Lakers. Like, those are the two mega franchises in that city, not an NFL team, and the Rams are trying to get in there. And again, they have the richest owner in the NFL and Stan Kroenke, so they're just overspending and trying to make splash moves, but it doesn't necessarily mean it's going to work.
Yeah, and look, I mean, I think we've seen, especially in football, that stuff like that doesn't work, you know, mm-hmm. for the most part, because again, there's too many moving parts. You need too many, like, look, if you had a team like that and you had, like I said, I'll bring up Brady because, you know, he gets brought up a lot in this game. If you put Brady on that as that leader on that team, a lot of problems get solved because he's a guy who can obviously manage that sort of collection of talent. Whereas, like I said, I don't think Matt Stafford can. I mean, I'm like whatever faith I had in Stafford before, and there wasn't much. It's plummeting. I tweeted it yesterday. It was a little stock emojis, you know, just boom, looking like my profile right now, just plummeting right now to the ground. And like, to me, it's like, okay, I've seen enough. Like, what grouping of players are going to make him better or make him actually perform? At this point, I'm just looking at it. Okay, it's the same old Matt Stafford. Short of some fortunistic or fortunate run, I don't ever see them winning a Super Bowl, let alone getting to one. Because I look at it right now, and I pulled up, if you're looking on the screen, you'll see the NFC playoff picture right now. Green Bay with the number one seed. The Rams are still at number five, but, you know, it's by virtue of, I think there's a bit of a gap, you know, from that point to the next grouping of teams. So, like, you have the Packers, the Cardinals, the Cowboys, the Bucks, and the Rams in the top five spots. All have fewer than three losses, or at least three or fewer losses. The next grouping comes, it's the Saints, the Panthers, the Vikings, 49ers, and the Falcons, all with like four or five wins. So there's a bit of a...
So it's kind of like last year, though. Remember how the Bucks were the five seed, but
yeah,
we thought they were a scary as hell team because of Brady. And then the next two teams were, what, the Bears were in there as a seventh.
Yeah, who else
and,
was it?
Actually, the Rams were the sixth seed, and they ended up beating Seattle in the wild card game.
Yeah.
So, but it, obviously the NFC's top heavy. I don't see the Rams falling below five, which if the season ended today, that, you know, crazy sentence that we sometimes have to throw out there, the Rams would be at Tampa. That would be the wild card game. If they're fortunate to even win that, then they probably have to go to Green Bay. Mm-hmm. And if they're fortunate to win that, they'd have to go to Arizona or Dallas. They'd have to win three road games against teams that are as good as them, if not better.
I'd say better at this point.
And better. And if you, look, out of those five teams, right, you know, Green Bay, Arizona, Tampa, Dallas, and the LA Rams, rank the quarterbacks. I mean, forget the first two because we know it's going to be Brady and Rodgers. After that, I'm taking Dak over Matt Stafford.
Oh,
I'm
yeah.
probably taking Kyle over Matt Stafford. So they would have the fifth best quarterback. Mm-hmm. And someone on TV today, I won't say his name because you don't like him, but he said essentially what the Rams did was they got rid of a chef that was poisoning the customers and Jared Goff. They went out and went to the Cheesecake Factory, got their best chef, brought him into the restaurant, and then expected, like, five-star rating.
Yeah.
Well, they didn't go get Brady or Rodgers. They got Matt Stafford, who, again, a good quarterback, you know, puts up good numbers, but he's not that guy that's going to elevate people. He's going to play along with his teammates. And look, how many times do we have to say this? The man had Calvin Johnson for 8 years.
Yeah,
maybe
exactly.
Gifted wide receiver in the history of the league, playing in a dome, right? That, I always like to throw that in there because, you know, Brady and Rodgers have had to play their games outdoors in cold and mm-hmm. snow. A lot of, you know, good things. Do you think Matt Stafford's going into Green Bay and winning a playoff?
No.
I don't think so. I mean, he won once or twice at Lambeau Field, and one of those games Rodgers didn't play. So I don't see that happening.
Yeah, and that's the thing. It's like, you know, and his number two receivers could arguably be good enough to be number one receivers on some of those players' teams. So, like, he has not had any shortage of talent. Now, has the coaching always been great? Probably not. I think Jim Caldwell kind of got a bad rep because I think he is a good coach. Just, you know, he was saddled with a very bad franchise. But, you know, at the same time, when it comes to individual production, like, you know, I think people got enamored with the stat compiler. that is Matt Stafford. Right. And like, that's the thing. People to this point still, I mean, we still have people valuing running over, you know, many other qualities of a quarterback when, you know, this isn't track and field. You know what I mean? There's certain value to it. But when you rank it among the most important traits of a quarterback, well, you're just wrong. It's kind of like with Matt Stafford. It's, oh, great, look at all those 5,000-yard seasons. Well, let's dive a little bit deeper. Well, he still turns the ball over. They're a bad team, so you would expect them to get a lot of opportunities of playing from behind, which generally leads to more throwing. And like I said before, like, throwing 5,000 yards isn't a guarantee that you have a great season. Look at Jameis Winston. I mean, sometimes you throw 5,000 yards just because you're a bad team, and you just have, you know what I mean? You just have to. So it's same with, like, Drew Brees. That's why I always kind of fought back about the whole Drew Brees thing. It's like, I don't care that he threw three straight 5,000-yard seasons while going 7-9. Like, that's not impressive to me, especially when you're turning the ball over as often as he was during those stretches. So
the game, and, you know, we just look at how many years Brady with the Patriots, how many times they would win games. It would turn out to be 24-10, and in the fourth quarter – they killed clock. In a
We've seen it this season multiple times from Brady. Yeah, there was a couple games where it's like he was. I think he sat pretty much the entire fourth quarter against Miami. I think he played like 3 or 4 minutes. You know, basically one series, and that was it. You know, and again, that's why, like, you know, we'll get into it now in a little bit, because we're going to do our quarterback power rankings through 10 weeks. And you know, when it comes to the MVP race, I know people were just rushing to Twitter to throw Brady out of the race, and I'm sitting here thinking, I'm like, who the hell's taking it from him? Like, no one seems to want to take it. And like, look, I think Aaron Rodgers is having a good season, although his what happened with the whole COVID thing, I think pretty much takes him out of the running, short of some unbelievable stretch of games here in the last 8 games. And I think even as a Rodgers fan, I think you would agree with me, because
it's going to be tough for him to win the MVP.
Yeah, actions that resulted in him missing games and ultimately losing a game for the team, I think is very not MVP worthy. And again, that's
wasn't out with an ankle.
Yeah. I mean,
if you're out with, like, Kyler Murray missed 2 games so far, they're 1-1 because of an ankle injury. It's not because of a COVID situation.
It's a little bit different.
Rodgers would have to, over the next 7 games, have 25 touchdowns and no interceptions.
And
he has done that before. He did that in 2016, that type of stretch. But that's what he'd need to do to really get in the conversation. I doubt. I mean, now you look at Green Bay as a defense for his team, which is kind of interesting. But it'll be difficult for him. And look, this is the year set up for maybe a non-quarterback to an MVP. We both always feel it should be a quarterback, the most important position in all sports. I get it. If Derrick Henry had remained healthy and run for 2,100 yards, it was probably his award to win. But that's not going to happen. Like, and there's nobody on defense that's going to get the MVP. I mean, the last defensive player to win MVP was Lawrence Taylor in 1986. I mean, it doesn't happen. I threw out the name last week as just a joke. Tyron Smith, the left tackle of Dallas. When he plays, they score like 40 points per game. When he doesn't play, they score like 10 points per game. It's like he has a huge impact on Dak Prescott. So in some sense, it's almost like the hockey assist. Like, he's MVP because Dak Prescott becomes an MVP when he's in the game. But it's going to be one of the quarterbacks. And right now, my vote would go to Brady. I think he's had the best year of all the quarterbacks.
Yeah, and look, I mean, he missed an opportunity a little bit to really separate from the pack even more. So I still think he's fairly fairly comfortable. Like, I mean, if he goes out and has a pretty solid rest of the season, like, you know, basically what he's been doing this entire season, he's going to win the MVP. Tampa's going to win some games. There, you know, he's going to have the numbers. Technically, he's not the league leader in passing right now, but the two people ahead of him, Matt Stafford has like 130 yards more, has played more games. You know, they've played 10, and he's played 9. He still leads the league in touchdown passes. He's still, I think he's third in QBR. Again, one of those players is Derrick Henry because of his touchdown pass. He's actually ahead of him. So, you know, people were quick to jump over. And look, if you watch the game on Thursday, no one's in their right mind is going to sit there and credit him or say he threw 2 interceptions, except for Bruce Arians, of all people. But, you know,
he wants to blame him for 3 interceptions, even though
he's like, the other one should have had. It's just like, okay, whatever, Bruce. Go.
They have have a weird relationship. It almost feels like a father-son relationship where they really do love each other, but occasionally the father kind of goes off and maybe has to show the rest of the team that I can, you know, berate.
Yeah, but what's the point of blaming Tom Brady for that first interception? There's no point to that. That's kind of getting into that LA Rams territory where you're just being theatrical. You're being dramatic for no reason, and that's stupid in football. So, but at the end of the day, I mean, he's been the best quarterback from start to finish. Like, yeah, did he have a great game last week? No, it was mediocre. Threw for 220 yards, 2 touchdowns, a couple picks. You know, it is what it is. Been a lot of games like that from quarterbacks, and a lot of worse games from quarterbacks, especially those in contention. And like, Dak Prescott had a nice game. You know, he's missed some. He missed a game, correct?
He missed a game, and they won, which I think hurts your chances.
Where
Kyler missed 2 games, and they're 1-1. Now Rodgers missed a game, and they lost. But the reason he missed the game was his own stupidity at some point.
Well, look, I mean,
missing. Ben Roethlisberger missed Sunday's game, may miss the next one, but of course Ben's not in the
MVP. No. Well, missing games is part of it, regardless of the situation. I think if you do, and look, this was held against Brady in 2016. Now, again, he missed games because of suspension, and we don't need to go down that rabbit hole and, to argue the validity of that. But, you know, that hurt him a lot because, look, at the end of the day, there was no better player in the NFL in 2016. That no disrespect to Matt Ryan, but the second Tom Brady returned against Cleveland in week 5, I mean, he just went on an absolute tear from start to finish, and again, was the best player, but he missed those 4 games, so, you know, he wasn't getting much love in the MVP race. And look, I think there's some legitimacy to that. I mean, part of the value of being MVP is being there for your team, and, you know, if you get injured, it's unfortunate, but you know, you do end up missing time. So I think that negatively affects those guys. As good as Patrick Mahomes looked this past week, he's going to have to do quite a bit. Plus, like I said, my belief is that, you know, that team goes more so as Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce go as opposed to him. But that's, again, I might be a little bit biased and be a little bit harsh, but I just call it like I see it, John.
Yard Sunday, though, you look at his yard Sunday, Mahomes had 406 yards. I believe 60% of those yards were yards after catch, which is great. That's perfect. That's what the quarterback should do, right? When you have 2 playmakers like Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce, get rid of the ball quickly. You don't have to have a 45-yard pass to have a 45-yard completion. You can have a 15-yard completion turn into a 45-yard pass because you have playmakers like that. Brady does it. Rodgers had probably 90-plus yards Sunday on screen passes. If that's what they give you, take it.
Which is fine.
Take it. Absolutely. When people say, oh, my God, some of his yards were this, and I don't care how you move the ball as long as you move it.
My thing is always has been this. It's like, what happens when you have to go beyond that? And it's like, again, like to your point, the people that are, you know, that harp on like yards per attempt, it's like, if you sat back and threw 10-yard passes every single time, that's bad quarterback play. That's just not good. So, but, you know, what I saw was, again, a guy who, again, uses what's around him very well. He still has issues throwing the ball past that mark because he's just not accurate. And that's why, like, and this is the trap that they're kind of falling back into. I don't know if you saw Travis Kelce. I don't know. Obviously, the fan base, Brittany, all that stuff.
Brittany.
Yeah, Brittany. not Britney Spears. No, I'm very pro Brittany. Free Brittany, right? Hashtag free Brittany. But you would think this is exactly what happened to them last year. They are very arrogant. They are very, very arrogant. They go out there and finally have a pretty solid performance. All of a sudden, it's we're back. We're back. Well, what are you back from? You've had 10 games where you've largely played pretty mediocre. The defense has started to play a little bit better. The offense is still, again, I'd worry that this was, you know, we talk about mirages a lot this weekend. I wonder if this is a mirage. You know, it's a little bit of false sense of, okay, thank God we finally got over the hump. Well, again, you know, I still saw a lot of the same issues that have crushed this team moving forward. And guess what? I need to see it more than just 1 week before I'm like, all right, you know, this is it. This is all of a sudden he's still, again, you know, people are acting like this play from Patrick Mahomes is out of the norm this season. It's not. It's been the same play he's had his entire career. It's just, again, mistakes are being made and they're being capitalized on. Guess what? The Raiders didn't capitalize on them last night or Sunday or whatever. There was, what, two fairly, you know, bad passes that were dropped. Again, dropped interceptions. You can ignore them all you want until they end up rearing their ugly head, and eventually they're going to. Saw more of that. We saw more of that have-to-play-hero-ball. You know, this desperate attempt to make these ridiculous plays that ultimately hurt his team as opposed to helping it. So, yeah, great win. Very nice. Yet, you know, you criticize, if people are going to criticize Brady for quote-unquote stat padding, I would say two touchdowns late in the fourth quarter when the game was out of control. That's kind of inflating those stats. I'm not going to knock him for it. I mean, it is what it is. All the other quarterbacks do it, but
apparently in 21 years.
What's that?
Brady's never thrown a touchdown in a blowout in 21 years.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm saying. I'm not criticizing him for it, but yeah. the thing is, it's like, you know, the people that will sit there and, I mean, we saw Shannon Sharp get up on camera and claim Brady was stat padding against the Dolphins, and he was out with, you know, 11 minutes left to go in the fourth quarter. Right. You know what I mean? So, you know, if you're going to say that, then yeah, absolutely, those two late touchdowns were a little bit, you know, on the fluffing side. But hey, it is that's what happens. Every quarterback does that. But
of course,
Steph Curry
doesn't sit on the fourth quarter 32 points. He wants to get to 40, and even if they have a 10, and look, the NBA is different because teams come back 15 points in the fourth quarter regularly, especially against the Celtics.
That's the thing though. If you're reasonable enough, you can't look at that and say, oh, they're all of a sudden back. No. Enjoy the victory. No. It was a big win. They definitely, this could go a long way into getting them back, but let's pump the brakes a little bit. Let's see what happens. Cause they have a tough stretch of games coming up. You go back to last week against Green Bay. I mean, they're fortunate as hell that Aaron Rodgers, you know, has the stance that he has on the vaccine, because they would have lost that game. Because he didn't look good, that offense didn't look good, and that defense, it's hard to judge because, again, it was Jordan Love, it was, who knows, and it was cold out, whatever. I'm not going to, you know what I mean? It's hard for me to draw conclusions from that.
Special teams weren't god-awful, they could have won that game with Jordan Love.
Yeah.
They missed two field goals, makeable field goals, and they dropped a punt, which led to 3 points. That's a 9-point swing. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and
very easy.
And don't forget,
game with Jordan Love.
And a lot of Green Bay missed opportunities for turnovers as well in that game.
Exactly.
So
like Kenny King had a potential interception.
Potential. Mahomes threw it right to his breadbasket.
That's why the defensive back, though. That's why I'm going to be interested to see Sunday when Trayvon Diggs, who might be the best wide receiver in football. I mean, that guy's hands are phenomenal. I don't know who has better hands in the family, Trayvon or Stephon. I mean, they're both very, very talented at catching footballs. They just put Trayvon on the defensive side of the ball. I mean, like I said yesterday, there'll be a pick in there somewhere. Diggs probably picks Mahomes at some point.
I would put a lot of money on that.
And Mahomes hits Hill on a 74-yard touchdown pass at some point, because Diggs is ultra, ultra aggressive. So, you know, look for some they'll get him to bite and end up with, you know, Tyreek Hill hitting his head on the goalpost. So that should be a fun game. That's going to be a big game, because now we'll see where Kansas City's at. If I'm a Chiefs fan, I'm encouraged that the defense is playing better.
Yeah.
You know, it's not, they're never going to have this elite shutdown defense. It's just not the way it works. But their defense is playing better of late. So that's probably something to look upon, you know, where you can say in the division right now, no one took control of it. The Chargers continue to poop their pants. Denver, you know, hey, we've got the game plan to shut down Dallas. No, you don't. Dallas had a bad day. You come back and lose to Philadelphia. And the Raiders do this all the time. With Gruden as their coach, or anyone as their coach, they get off to a good start and they peter out in the second half of the year. So Kansas City's actually right now looking like they should win that division, which gets them a home playoff game, which is, you know, is important.
Oh, sure. Absolutely. So, all right. So we got about 10 minutes left. So let's do our quarterback rankings. And I said it going into this. I really don't know. This was more difficult than I imagined, because a lot of these quarterbacks just didn't want to be on this list, apparently. They tried their hardest not to. And by virtue of a lack of a better option, I guess. I got Patrick Mahomes number 5. Give credit where credit's due. He had a really nice game on Sunday. The important thing for him is obviously can you keep doing that, and can you keep playing games without turning the ball over, or at the very least putting it in a risky position? So we'll see what happens throughout the course of the season. But right now, I gotta put him at number five.
Five came down to me between Lamar Jackson and Patrick Mahomes. I went with Lamar Jackson because I think he's doing more with less, and he also beat Patrick Mahomes in a game, so I'll give him the tiebreaker on that. So I got Lamar Jackson at number five.
Surprisingly, this might surprise you a little bit, and maybe this was just the nature of trying to figure out who the hell is actually good in this league, but I got Josh Allen number four. Am I crazy? Because like, I thought he had a pretty good game this past week. He's gone through some struggles, but for the most part, he's got this Buffalo team playing pretty well. I know I knocked him a little bit these last couple weeks, but I thought he had a really solid performance against the Jets. I mean, who doesn't? But I mean, a lot of this has to do with, you know, who's stepping up. Well, not too many players are stepping up. So, you know, you got to fill out five spots somehow. And number four to me is Josh Allen.
Okay, I went with Kyler Murray. I know he's missed the last two games.
I took him out because of that. I couldn't, you know, he missed two games. I couldn't put him in there.
Yeah, he's played 80% of the game, so that kind of has me on the cusp there. While he's played, he's been outstanding. He's probably right there with Brady, the leading MVP candidate, but missing two games is obviously going to hurt him going forward. Probably doesn't play this week because they got a bye coming up. I'd give him an extra week because those ankle injuries can be just a pain in the butt and keep you not quite right for a month or so. So I've got Kyler at number four.
All right. So number three for me, number three, Dak Prescott. You know, rebounded after a pretty bad game the week before. You already mentioned Dallas kind of just didn't show up that day. They did show up this week against Atlanta. I mean, they at one point in the second quarter, I believe it was 36-3. So they did leave a lot of points out there, but he's been playing really well, and he's right up there in the mix. You know, we've already talked about him. But yeah, I got him at number three.
Yeah, I got him at number three. Absolutely. I think he's right there in the MVP conversation. He really hasn't had a bad game. I mean, the game against Denver, they weren't on the field much. That's partly his fault, but mostly the defense's fault for not getting off the field. So I've got Dak at number three. And I think he's set up with a marquee game Sunday against Kansas City. If Dallas wins and he outplays Mahomes, he's going to be that much better for it.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And I'm guessing our next two are identical. So I'm just going to say both of them, and then we can discuss or just kind of leave it at that, because we've kind of discussed at quite a great length these two. Aaron Rodgers and Tom Brady. At the end of the day, Aaron Rodgers has had this isn't necessarily a MVP discussion because I do think that, you know, him missing, as we mentioned before, missing those games hurts his chances and kind of knocks him out of the running. But when it comes to playing consistently from start to finish, there's been no two better quarterbacks in the league from the beginning of the season till now than Brady and Rodgers. And Rodgers, I think, is doing things a little bit differently than Brady, of course, but both of them have been greatly efficient. Obviously, Rodgers doesn't turn the ball over that often. Both quarterbacks had interceptions this past week, but again, you know, when in the grand scheme of things, they're still on the lower spectrum, lower part of it all. And look, it's part of it is, yeah, a lot of other quarterbacks just didn't step up in opportunities that they had. The other fact is, yeah, I mean, these two guys have just been playing efficiently from start to finish. A bad game for either of these two players is a mediocre game for the most part for everyone else. So, yeah, so I look at it as
the reason I put these guys one and two, and I got Brady one and Rodgers two, is that who do you trust more than these two guys in closing out a game?
No one.
4-minute offense. Yeah, when you've got like a 5-point lead, and we saw Brady do that in the NFC Championship game. He struggled in the fourth quarter, but he got the job done to end up taking a knee and sealing the victory. And Rodgers does that really well as well. Occasionally they get a little bit full of themselves and try to push it a little bit too much, but, you know, bleed the clock, check down to the run, you know, be efficient. And then if it's third and four, you trust these two guys are going to make the safe throw to get that next first down to kill another 2 minutes. So that's big. It's almost like having a great reliever, right? You know, yeah. Mariano Rivera's coming in to close out the game. You feel pretty comfortable. Same thing with Brady and Rodgers, and of course with Mac Jones as well. Although, because that you know, the drive against the Chargers a couple of weeks ago was damn impressive. You know, when the
Patriots had
a one score lead in that game, and he was really good. Yeah, I hope you didn't. Well, you almost put him in the top five.
I had discussions. I had some internal discussions about
with who, your cat?
Yeah. Well, have you seen them, Megan? They're, you know, I got to talk to someone here.
They're involved.
They're part of the organization. But as I'm sure you're impressed, I cooler heads prevailed, and I said next week is going to be the week. No, look, I mean, if he goes out and you know, again, has another really good game, it's going to be harder, especially considering some of the play of some of these other quarterbacks. And trust me, any chance I get to maybe knock Patrick Mahomes out of this list, I will take. What?
This is like the Oscar nominations for best actor. There's always one in there that go, how the hell did that guy get in there? You know, it's like, how did he get a nomination? Well, it wasn't really a great year for actors.
Yeah.
So they gave out a nomination to some guy who has no chance to win. And, you know, meanwhile, there's, Jack Nicholson and Daniel Day-Lewis getting nominations and not winning the Oscar 20 years ago. Adrian Brody won the Oscar, which still I'm shocked at that selection by Oscar, because I thought Nicholson and About Schmidt and Daniel Day-Lewis in Gangs of New York were both far superior. But can't give those guys the Oscars every year, even though they deserve
it. Well, you should. You could.
Why not?
Brady should be getting the MVP every year. And well, guess what, John?
Bonds has 7 MVPs, probably should have 9. I got no, you know, that's what the way it works. What did Wayne Gretzky win? 8 straight MVPs?
No. Like he was look, the most impressive MVP obviously is in hockey is Bobby Orr, you know. Come on. The guy was incredible. But unfortunately, we're out of time.
Gretzky won 8 MVPs in a row.
I wasn't sure if it was 7 or 8 in a row.
Or won like 4 out of 6 or 3 out of 5. We're not going to go into the discussion of power ranking hockey players all time, right? We're not going to get into that.
No, I mean, we could eventually, but not today. We'll have to save that for
another hockey show.
Exactly. But thank you, everyone, for tuning in. Thank you for putting up with our nonsense. And we will talk to you soon. So have a great day, and we'll talk to you then. Bye.